Out of respect for our Lord, we rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.' Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Very good. We've been here many times, haven't we? How often we have been here as we've come to our Lord and paraded with him on Palm Sunday. We join once again with the whole crowd of disciples and proclaim, as it says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And with that crowd, we join our voices proclaiming peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As we echo the message of the angels who first sang those words at Jesus' birth. Matthew gives us hosannas. John gives us the palm branches. And Luke takes us back to the birth of the King. How often we have been here with King Jesus as he comes to Jerusalem to be crowned with thorns, to ascend the very throne of the cross where he brings us into peace and salvation. Many of us have been here so often that the details get blurred, the story gets blended from one gospel to another. But if you pay attention to the details that Luke gives, you may have noticed that something kind of seems out of place. Jesus weeps. It says in Luke 19 that as Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, he, as he approached it, wept over that city. He knew that destruction was going to come. Now, with the crowds of disciples following and praising, Jesus does indeed come near Jerusalem, where he does. He stops, he weeps for good reason. He knows that this city and her people will have a rejection of the Lord and his will. I wonder about when Jesus stops and thinks about this city. Does he weep? For Jerusalem, judgment is coming. No stone will be left unturned. When the Romans come and destroy this beautiful city in AD 70, and they lay waste to the temple of God, they decimate the people, and so Jesus weeps. But this is not the first time that he has grieved for God's people and this city of Jerusalem. Sometime before Palm Sunday, along his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus points to his coming death and speaks this lament. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So it's striking then that on a day when Jesus finally comes to Jerusalem and these words of praise ring out, we find ourselves here caught up in praise too. while Jesus weeps. This lament, this expression of grief and sorrow, like Jesus' tears as he comes near Jerusalem, is about God's will and his people's unwillingness to live in that salvation and that peace that comes from him. And so to help us understand the grief that Jesus has, Jesus takes us back to the world of chickens. That's right, chickens. Now, some of you might think back to a family farm as a child, and it's fascinating in the springtime when you hear the sound of those peeping chicks out across the barnyard, and it doesn't take much searching to find a mother hen along with her brood of little chicks following closely behind these little yellow creatures. Now, some follow mommy while others stray this way and that. She scratches and pecks the ground, and the little chicks do the same. She goes for the water, and most of them follow. But there are always a few little balls of yellow feathers that kind of stray far away. Mama hen walks over to them and gathers them back to herself. And if people get too close, you learn quickly not to mess with Mama hen and her chicks. When she knows that her little chicks are in trouble, she will gather her little yellow fur balls and gather them into herself to shelter them, to protect them. And so she raises her wings in her own discomfort and draws the little ones beneath herself where they are protected, where they are covered, where they are safe. How often she patiently repeats the process of teaching, of nurturing, of protecting, of gathering her brood. How often her brood still wants to wander off and do their own thing and get into trouble. How does Mama Hen have the will to repeat this process over and over and over again when the will of her chicks is so opposed to her own will? What an appropriate picture that Jesus uses to speak of Jerusalem and his own people. How often Jesus has experienced them as a brood of unwilling chicks. He had ushered in the gracious will and reign of God, the activity of the King. Jesus had healed the lame, fed the hungry, driven out demons, calmed storms, raised the dead. He brought peace to the people. This very city, Jerusalem, Salem, has the word peace in it. They should have seen, they should have heard, they should have understood these things that have to do with peace. God has come to gather His shalom, His people in peace by the visitation of His Son, Jesus. But they keep on questioning, they keep on doubting, they keep on opposing the ministry of Jesus. And in doing so, they were directly opposing the will of God who had sent Jesus to gather them, that He might indeed be their peace. As it was written in the days of the prophets of old, so it was with Jesus as He approached Jerusalem. People, hearing all of this causes our own hearts to join with Jesus as He weeps. As we lament, as we look at our own society that has gone astray, the little chicks have done their own thing. If you look at any newspaper article or hear your news stories or look on the internet, you see that the little chicks have gone away from Mother Hen. And so it's easy for us to keep on looking and lamenting and weeping over our city. To keep on rejecting Jesus runs the risk of remaining apart from Him and under judgment for forever. And so we, with Jesus, grieve the reality. But it's always easier to see someone else's unwillingness to follow God's will, isn't it? After all, we're disciples and would never so willingly reject and oppose God's will in our lives, would we? Well, Peter didn't think so, did he? And yet he flat out rejected God's plan to send Jesus to the cross. It took Jesus calling Peter as Satan before he saw his own unwillingness. Paul, too, he often lamented Israel's unwillingness to live in God's will, and he had directly rejected and opposed God's plan in Jesus and needed the blinding light and the scales in his eyes so that he would understand. And even though Jesus' lament in Luke's gospel is for a specific city, for specific people, he also laments your unwillingness to be gathered as hen gathers her chicks into his gracious will. So again, I wonder about when he stops and thinks about this city. I wonder about when he stops and thinks about us. For some of you, in your relationships, Jesus sees your unwillingness to be reconciled to a person that you once cared for deeply. They hurt you so badly that you can't imagine feeling safe with them again. So you wander further each day from the peace and protection that Jesus has come to gather you into. How often he extends his healing only to watch you hold even tighter to the hurt. And Jesus weeps and laments at your unwillingness to receive his peace for your life. He knows it doesn't have to be this way. It's so hard, isn't it? For some of you, Jesus sees your secret, that thing you do in the dark, the one that you wish you could be free of, the path that you try to leave before it destroys everyone around you. As hard as you try, you can't leave that secret. The truth is, you don't know what life would be like without it. How often he has extended his transforming grace only to watch you choose to be shackled to the burden once again. And he laments and weeps over you. For some of you, Jesus knows how hard you're trying to manage yet another situation as if you had the power to control the whole universe. You know who you are. How often he has poured his grace upon you when you find yourself helpless to make your plan work. He wants nothing more than to gather you, to see you let go of the struggles, to live in his freedom, to rest in his peace. And so his tears fall as he watches you turn back to your stuff and take the reins once again. We all have some place in our life where we are unwilling to be conformed to the will of God, the will of Jesus. And that unwillingness is wrapped into what Jesus is up to today as he approaches Jerusalem weeping, lamenting over that city. Weeping and lamenting over us. How often he's been here with us, with his people, with the world. We are powerless to change our unwillingness and to will ourselves into his healing, his mercy, his path of life, and his freedom. And so it's no wonder that the Savior has tears rolling down his face as he approaches Jerusalem and his people as they praise him. It's no wonder he has tears flowing down his face as he approaches and looks at us as we praise him today, shouting our hosannas with our limp little palms today. He weeps over his little ones. Now, I think it's important that we look at the little details that Scripture has, and those make such a difference. Jesus is weeping on Palm Sunday, and that's shown in Luke 19, and it leads us back to his lament in Luke 13, where he employs the image of the hen and her chicks to talk about our unwillingness. Jesus has tried to gather us back to himself so many times that it seems logical that he should just cast judgment upon us and walk away, leave us to our own death and destruction. And yet, the image that Jesus uses is not only of the unwilling chicks, it also shows an even greater unwillingness, a fortitude, a stick-with-itness. A hen never, ever leaves her little chicks. But she goes after them. She gathers them to herself and protects them. When the mother hen sees that her chicks are confused and wandering away, if they're in peril, there is nothing that can prevent her from spreading her wings and covering these helpless, vulnerable, and yet unwilling little ones. She would gladly, gladly take the burden and the death blow upon herself to save what's most precious to her. She is unwilling to leave her chicks on her own. Can you see it? Can you see the connection? Jesus raises his wings higher than it seems possible to his own discomfort and anguish. So high and lifted up are the arms of the Savior that it took nails to hold him to that cross as he is outstretched for us. So unwilling is Jesus that you should perish in your sin that he submits to the Father's will, standing in the shadow of those blood-stained arms then on the cross. We see the full fury of the divine punishment fall in a death blow, not upon you, his little chicks, but upon Jesus, who received every last ounce of the Father's judgment. So it is true that Jerusalem is the city that kills the prophets. Yet those long gone slain prophets of old, like Isaiah, published words of hope in the midst of lament. Isaiah says this, "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in the city no more. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." The Lord hears his little chicks. So strong and eager is the will of God to restore his creation and rejoice over you that he would strike his own son in judgment and death. But that's only the beginning. After 3 days in the tomb, God's love for you caused him to raise Jesus from the dead. And on that great day of resurrection, which we'll celebrate a week from today, Jesus, now not like a hen, but like a phoenix raising from the ashes, is raised to life to usher in for you a new day, a new creation in the face of your sin and your unwillingness. But you don't have to wait a week to be gathered under his wings. How often, Jesus, meets you here in the sanctuary where you remember that you are named by him in your baptism. You are his powerful child. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit in that baptism, you are brought to faith in that time. How often we come to our time of confession and say, "Lord, please forgive me. I don't listen to you. I don't follow you. I don't worship you. Please forgive me." And we're forgiven. We're absolved. We're given a new chance to go forward in the newness of the Lord. How often we come to this very altar, to the Lord's Supper, and receive forgiveness. Our faith is strengthened as we come to that meal. How often we are given the peace of our Lord. We're given a new chance to realize that we have the promises of a nurturing, protecting presence of Jesus. This Jesus is unwilling to give up on you. So, if you see a pathway of unwillingness that you've walked down too many times, whether it be bitterness, or control, or hiding in the darkness of sin, and you feel helpless to do anything about it, lean into Jesus and what he's doing today, because you can't change it on your own. And as you lean into Jesus, you experience the tender wings of grace that are already covering you. You experience his unwillingness to leave you on your own. And as you look around, safe and secure, you discover indeed that you're not alone. You are joined under his wing with all the chicks, all the little chickens of the world gathered together in his name. Perhaps we could say it this way: no one is gathered alone, and no one leans into Jesus alone. We have each other as we're on the journey. Under the wings of Jesus, we indeed find that we are not alone. We lean into Jesus' love and his peace together today and discover once again that his wings are already covering us. They have been covering us all along. And under his wings, we find we're not alone in the struggle. Today on Palm Sunday, as we sing and we celebrate the coming of the King who ascended the throne of the cross, we confess our own unwillingness, but even more, we trust that the love of God and Jesus Christ is relentless in pursuing us, chasing after his little yellow fur balls. So we lean then into his peace and love once again. Amen. Amen. Peace, love, faith, grace, and safe refuge under his wings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be to us all. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.